you can pray for me? So we can pray for each other?
That sounds
That's allowed in our faith? Okay, good. Good.
Jesus, I'm so thankful for God here. I just pray in this moment that your Holy Spirit speaks through him, and he just reaches out to us as a church and impacts our hearts and impacts our minds and creates change in who we are as a people. And I just pray that we are determined to follow you and determined to follow your word. So I just pray that you work through Chad in this moment and that you bless us through his words. Bless Chad in his ministry as he counsels those who struggle with Stellar and blesses them through your words. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Brad. Can I be that guy? It's funny. When I was not in ministry, I used to hate the guy that would make you move. I'm sorry. I'm that guy. Can I get you guys that are here, can I get you to move over here? We're a small group. So let's, like, be together. Can we try that? It's funny, you know, it's interesting. I grew up in church. And it's funny because as church people, I don't quite know why we do this, but church people are actually fairly territorial. It's really quite entertaining. We get a place where we sit in church, and that's where we want to sit. And I don't know if it's because we actually think that that's where God is going to show up, so we don't want to miss it, or if it's just because that's where we're comfortable. As Brad had said, my name is Chad, and I'm just really blessed to be here with you, to bring you the word, and a little of my experience. As I prepared to come to you, I was super unsure on where to go this morning, and I travel and preach a fair bit, and normally I'm really pointed on where I'm going to go. Today was a little bit different, so I'm going to introduce myself. They say that as a speaker, preacher, or teacher, that if you preach or teach to someone that people that don't know you, they are 60% more likely to listen to you if you show them a picture of your family. So I'm going to show you a picture of my family, and then you'll listen better. That is my family. Is that my blessed or what? Bananas. Our girl Julie, she is just turned 16, and my son Braden has just turned 14. And I am just so blessed with what God has given me. I am a man that is redeemed, and I am a man that does not deserve anything that I have been given. So, as I said, I was born in a Christian home and grew up in church, and through a really, really tough experience, when we got married, we were 19 years old. We just celebrated 20 years marriage in June. And we went through this really crazy, hard moment where our church kind of exploded around us. Has anyone lived through church struggle? It's super hard, guys. It's super hard. Because as children of the King, they're not supposed to act that way. That's why. We weren't designed for that. Went through this huge struggle, and I remember the night after our wedding, we were laying in bed together, and I turned to my wife and I said, "Serena, I will promise you this, we will never step foot in church again. And we will certainly never subject our children to that kind of cruelty." That's where I sat 20 years ago. And I'm here to tell you today that God is faithful when we are not. He is faithful when we are not. So we did. We got married, and my wife's dad is a pastor, and we got married, and we just lived La Viva Loca for the first 2 years we were married. If we weren't supposed to do it, that's what we did. And and just lived sort of wild living, wild and crazy living. Anything that we knew we shouldn't do or were told we shouldn't do, that's what we did. And had a neat moment where God really just called my name. And he told me, he said, Chad, I called you into ministry. At 17 years old, I was called into ministry through a real crazy, wild experience. And the Lord said, I called you into ministry at 17, and that call has not left. I call you to be obedient. So I said, okay. We had a family from a church in a little town where just south of us called Big Valley, who had called and said, hey, we'd love it if you'd come. We understand you've done some youth work, and we had worked a little bit for Youth for Christ before we got married and before this whole church bomb kind of goes off. And we said, yeah, no, we'd love to come to Big Valley and work with your youth, and we did. Here's the problem, is we showed up in this little town with big ideas and big plans and excited about what God had, except for we hadn't dealt with the stuff in our heart yet. We hadn't dealt with the junk in our soul. So over the next close to 4 years, we made an incredible mess of a program because we were ill-equipped to actually do what was called for us to do because we were just simply so broken. And through a really difficult situation, we left the church, and in the end, we were basically asked to leave. And as I left, I was just so incredibly broken, and there was a conflict that broke out as we were leaving. And I was also farming a little bit, and I was running a trucking company as well. And I found myself morally bankrupt. Completely and totally morally bankrupt. And I'd come to the conclusion, my children were 5 and 3. And I looked at my wife and how beautiful she was, and I thought, you know, all I need to do is just get out of the way. If I just remove myself from this situation, then, I mean, Serena can marry a new man, and my kids can have a decent husband or a decent father, and I just need to get out of the way. So I've made the decision that day through this experience that I was going to take my own life. And I found myself in a slough bottom in a pasture that we had rented with a 30-30 cocked it in my mouth. And through this experience, as my heart is racing and I'm about to end my life, I fell asleep. I fell completely and totally sound asleep. And I slept for approximately 2.5 hours. And that pasture we had, I had a group of cattle and my group of heifers I would keep with one of my super quiet cows so that I could lead them around. They just follow the old cow around, right? And this cow had never, ever, ever got out of a fence in his life. And somehow this cow got through 2, possibly 3 fences. And as I woke up, she was licking my hair. And I found myself wildly awake and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't even totally convinced I believed in the Holy Spirit. But I found myself in the presence of it. And I cried out to God in that moment. I said, God, I've made such a mess. I'm a crooked businessman. I'm a terrible father. I'm addicted to pornography. I drink like a fish. My mouth is disgusting. I have made an absolute mess of myself. And Lord, I don't know how or why you'd bother. But Lord, if you can pull me out of this, I'm going to do it all the way your way. I give up. God said, okay. And he began to build me up a little bit at a time. We started a company. And the idea of the company was this: to honor God in everything we did to the absolute best of our ability. The company's 10 years old. We've led 11 people to Christ. And we've been incredibly successful, even though the economy has really been poor. And it's because we've honored God in everything we've done. And all of a sudden, God began to build me up. He built me up, and he built me up one stone at a time until he renewed me to be a man of righteousness. I am a man of righteousness, not because I'm a righteous man, but because God restored me to that. And some of us have big stories and some of us have small stories, but all of us here, I trust, have experienced the goodness of God. Is that a fair estimation? We've experienced maybe small, maybe big, but we've experienced the goodness of God. And my question to you is this: what are you going to do about it? Because this is the question I was asked 5 years into this journey. I was laying in my bathtub. It's a great place to talk to Jesus, by the way. And I just felt the Lord say to me, Chad, I want more from your life. I want you to experience me more. And I want it to make a greater effect. Now, we had led people to Christ in our company. We'd led some customers to Christ. And just through some neat experiences, we were working for this new company we'd never really worked for. And the company phoned and said, Chad, we'd like you to come to Calgary and meet with us and have a conversation about this contract. $500,000 contract. It's a big deal. Four people, two trucks, every day for close to a year. We would like you to come and discuss this project and how you're going to do. And I hadn't worked for this company. I didn't know this company very well. And I'm like, sure, we'll go. I'll go. And as I'm driving there, the Lord's voice continues to tell me what he told me in the bathtub. I want to do more in your life. We get to this meeting and I go upstairs and we sit down. And the first thing out of this guy's mouth, he says to me, don't you hate having kids? I'm like, yeah, you're having a bit of a tough time? He says, yeah, it's pretty crappy right now. And again, the presence of the Holy Spirit has all of a sudden filled this boardroom. Full of bad language. Full of people that don't know him. And this boardroom is filled with the presence of God. And each contractor that was invited to this meeting got an hour and a half. And again, I feel that quiet nudge of the Lord. And he says, Chad, I want you to speak the truth to these men. And I looked across at the man and I said, hey, I didn't really address it properly when we came off the elevator. I said, you know, your kid is having some struggles. He says, yeah, she really is. And the other fellow, he says, do you have kids? I said, yeah, I do have kids. And I said, I have been blessed because I haven't had any struggle with my kids yet, and I'm thankful for that. He says, well, my daughter's a drug addict. And she overdosed last night. And all the other men in the room are looking at this guy like, what are you doing? You don't even know this guy. What's going on? I spent an hour and a half. I spent my whole allotted time talking to these three men about Jesus. And I ended up getting the awesome opportunity to pray with these three men in a boardroom at an oil company in Calgary. I get on the elevator and I'm heading down to my vehicle to go home and I'm like, man, that was cool. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, I forgot to talk about business. I did nothing in which I came here for. And all of a sudden that song rolled in my mind. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. All of a sudden it didn't matter about business anymore. The money, the employees, the stature, all of a sudden it was all stripped away and it didn't matter. I got in the car, I phoned my wife and I'm like, babe, we're in trouble. Like, get ready to go under, we're in trouble. Serena says, why would you say that? I says, well, listen, I says, I forgot to talk about our business today. She says, what? I says, yeah, so I went to this meeting, it was really fun, and we talked about Jesus, and I prayed with these guys, and when I left, I didn't even leave them a card, I didn't talk about my business, I didn't talk about the contract, I didn't talk about what we could do, I didn't try to compete with another company, I did nothing. My wife, being the awesome woman she is, she says, good. You honored God today. That's what we said we were going to do. James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking himself goes away immediately forgetting what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom, it continues in it. Not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I want to be an effectual doer, people. Because that's actually what God has called us to be, is an effectual doer. Because if we're not an effectual doer, we are an effectual hearer who is deceiving themselves about why they're here. I get a phone call from this oil company. Again, I didn't show up. The guy says, yeah, Chad, it's James calling. And I said, hi, James, how are you? He says, you know, when you prayed for me, we felt something, you know. And I said, yeah, it's called Jesus Christ and he loves you. He says, yeah, I know, I get that. He says, I was actually raised in church. He says, and you called my heart back. Us guys, we talked and we just decided, we're just going to give you the contract. We sent you the contract. Look it over. If it works for you, great, sign it, send it back. You're good. I said, but James, we didn't bid. He said, it doesn't matter. We don't want anyone else. I didn't even tell him what we were able to do. So what does that tell me? It actually begins to speak into Corinthians 2, 10 to 15 when it talks about the Spirit actually begins to speak through my prayers even when I don't know what to pray. It's like Romans 8. We know not ought what we should pray. But the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. The Spirit spoke to those men's heart. My focus was on the King. And everything else just simply worked out. Here's the problem. We have a stronghold in our life. And a stronghold is simply this. A stronghold is something, anything, in our life that competes with Jesus. Let's be honest. Who has a stronghold in their life today? I do. I have some strongholds in my life that need broken yet. I have things in my life that compete with Jesus. And as long as I allow those strongholds to live in my life, I do not honor God in everything I do. Here's the thing, God changed my heart and he made me a man that desires to honor God in what he does. I find it interesting when we read in the story of David and in 1 Samuel, and Samuel walks away from Saul and he goes to the house of Jesse. He calls forward all these sons, he looks at all these tough, manly men, and he looks at them and he says, nope, 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 nope. God says no to all of them. They call this little boy David to come, and God says, that's my man. That's the guy. Anoint him. Samuel pours the horn of oil on him, and in our minds, in our Sunday school minds, we're like, bam, he's king. No, he's a shepherd. In fact, do you know what happened after that? He simply went back to tend the sheep with oily hair. That's what happened. And as he tended the sheep, here's the crazy thing. What did he do while he tended the sheep? He shepherded. He protected. He learned how to shoot the bears and tangle with the lions. What do you think he did in the evening when his sheep were sleeping and it was quiet? I believe he sat and played his harp because he thought he was bored and he had a heart for worship, so he'd play his harp and he'd sing. In that moment, you would think he's just doing his job, supporting his family, doing what he's got to do, right? If you didn't know the rest of the story, you would think that's all he's doing. He's just biding his time. He's doing his job. He's honoring his dad. He's doing what he's told. But actually, what's actually happening is God is preparing him for what's to come. God is preparing him for what he's about to do. Because all of a sudden, the king calls. All of a sudden, Saul finds himself completely demonized and struggling with this spirit that comes and torments him, and he cannot sleep. And he calls out for someone who, A, knows God, and B, can play a mean jam on a stringed instrument. And of course, the Spirit of the Lord went before him and put David in his mind. Next thing you know, that thing he was doing just because he was killing some time while the sheep were sawing logs, all of a sudden is his gateway to learn the kingdom and how it works. Let's stop biding our time. And let's change our mindset so we begin to see it as more. And this is what we started to do in our home. We started to pray every day and say, Lord, make me effective for you today. And man, I'll tell you, we started to see some stuff. Crazy things. Gas stations. Museum with the kids. A meeting. Out on a lease. Threading pipe together. God just started showing up all over our lives. My wife goes to get her hair done. That is not her actual natural hair color. She goes to get her hair done, and she's sitting under the deal where the chemical's killing her hair. I mean, dying her hair. And she says, this lady's sitting beside her, and she looks at her phone. She puts her phone down, and she says, oh, I wish God would just do something already. Lord, make us effective for you today as we're having breakfast to start our day. All of a sudden, the things around us didn't change. We just started seeing them through different eyes. Here's the thing. If we're a Sunday Christian, this is the problem. Is it's great and it's good and I'm thankful that you're here and I'm thankful that you know Jesus. But here's the problem. If knowing Jesus is simply fire insurance in case we die later, in case our heart explodes and we're dead, or in case there's a car accident, or in case we end up with cancer, or in case we're old enough that just nature takes its course, we at least know where we go in the next life. That's fire insurance, people. God gave us his Spirit, and he told us to be workers of the harvest. He also said when he taught the disciples to pray, your will be done here as it is in heaven. When was the last time, if I was honest with myself, that I actually brought heaven to this earth? It's our birthright. We have ownership in heaven. When was the last time we used it? This was a question we started talking about at our kitchen table. See, it's a stronghold. David Wilkerson says, most of us think of a stronghold as bondages, such as sexual trespasses, drug addiction, alcoholism, outward sins that we put at the top of our worst sin list. But Paul refers to something much worse than our human measuring of sins. A stronghold is an accusation firmly planted in our minds by Satan to implant lies and falsehoods and misconception, especially concerning the identity of God. The enemy has lulled us to sleep as a church people. It's been made about our peace. It's been made about our church. It's been made about our kids. It's been made about our family. And we forgot to be effective for the King. And here's the thing. You know what one of the most rampant things in church is? Fear and anxiety. Do either of those things come from the King? Here's the key. Peace actually comes from obedience. Peace comes from obedience. When I'm walking and standing in full obedience, I have peace. Not because the situation around me is easy, but because I have peace. Because I'm obedient. Well, okay, so I'm that loud preacher guy that travels around with a pink shirt and talks loud and has an opinion. Listen, I've walked in this, people. I lived for 15 years as an adult that I would literally shake myself to sleep every night. Quiver and shake in fear till I would pass out asleep every night. Unless I had lots to drink. Had this huge moment, the slew bottom moment, as we call it in our house. And as God began to build me up, He began to build me up. But here's the thing, as He was building me up, I may not have been using the alcohol to get myself to sleep, but guess what? I was still shaking every night. If not every night, 5 nights a week. I would wake up in the morning terrified. I would look at a bank statement, terrified. Terrified every day. 3.5 years ago, I had this breakthrough. I guess it's getting close to 4 years now. I went to this deal, and I had come to the conclusion in my life that God was just going to have to, His grace was going to have to be sufficient for my pornography addiction because I couldn't beat it. I was reading my word, I was praying, I was accountable to some people. Man, I couldn't beat it. I'd 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, sometimes 2 weeks, but I'd always fall. I'd always go back to it. And it always would end the same way. I'd have this emotion, this feeling, and it would eat me alive until I partook in the sin. And then that feeling would go away for a little bit. Began to become a medication thing. And I'd come to the conclusion that God was just going to have to be okay with it because I couldn't beat it. And I went to this conference and I ended up going forward and as I was prayed for, I felt something change in my heart. And all of a sudden the addiction was gone. I remember coming home from this experience and things looked different. Like trees looked different. Things looked greener. Things looked bluer. Things looked better. And I said to my wife, we have this terrible conversation about my struggle, and she cried and she was disappointed and hurt and felt rejected, and it was a really tough moment. And she looked at me and she said, I'm going to get over this. And we're going to start bringing the kingdom here. I'm thankful for women that lead when their men can't. Yes, the man is supposed to lead the home. He is supposed to be the head of his wife. Yes, he is. Very true. But I'm thankful that I was blessed with a woman that knew when she needed to lead because I wasn't able to. If I was really honest with you people, which is the only thing I know how to do, that was the moment where I was now able to lead. Went to bed that night. The Lord woke me up, and this is what he said to me. He said, Chad, I called you into ministry at 17. And it's time for you to be faithful to what I've called you to do. And I said, Lord, but I blew it. I didn't do the school. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I've got this. I did this. I can't do that. And the Lord says to me, read Judges 6. I'm like, okay. And as I began to read Judges 6, starting in verse 11, this is what began to happen. I want you, as I read this, to change the name Gideon to your name. Because this is God's word over your life. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. There was his son Gideon out threshing wheat in a wine press to keep away from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon in this moment, he's like, "What is that?" Whoa. He says, "Pardon me, Lord." Gideon replied, "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this stuff happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did the Lord not bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in strength, you have, and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" That's what God's saying to you. He wants us to deliver this world from the hands of the enemy. He wants us to deliver this world from the hands of the enemy. And what the enemy wants to speak into your mind, the stronghold, is, "You can't do that because you are," or, "You've done enough. You do this little bit at the church, and, you know, you're nice to your husband most days except for Thursday. And, I mean, it's good enough. I mean, your kids are serving the Lord, so it's all you really need to do. That's your responsibility." God was calling Gideon into something he wasn't yet. You know what Gideon was? He was a pansy. Hiding from Midian, crushing wheat in a wine press. Wine presses are for grapes. If you are doing something that it wasn't designed to do, you probably have a stronghold in your life. If you're using your word to dispel fear in your heart, that wasn't what it was designed for. Gideon replies, he says, "Pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you." That is the word over our lives. So where do we go from this? First of all, we need to break off the stronghold. I'm really blessed at home. I have an administrator that just saves my life every day. She's so good. She's like a sister to me. And I was really struggling with some stuff. I was just really struggling with some, like, real life mental illness struggle. And the only reason why I am not in the mental illness circle is because God has saved me. Because without Christ, I am incredibly fearful, I'm incredibly anxious, and I'm very depressed. But with Christ, I'm so much different. So much better. She sends me Psalms 86, and as I read through it, I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's a nice psalm. Thanks, Keely. Thanks for helping me out, sweetheart. That's awesome. Thank you so much." And my wife texts me, she says, did you get the scripture that Keely sent you? And I said, yeah, I did. Why? She says, you need to read it again. I love my wife. And I get down to verse 11, and it just absolutely pierced my heart. I was trying to figure out what was wrong. Why couldn't I kick this? I had a bit of a bad counseling experience, and I was disappointed with myself, and there was a few old conflicts that came up to remind me that I still sucked, and I was just beat down. And I'm reading this, and I get down to verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, so that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart so that I may fear you. You know what the problem is when we're feeling fear and anxiety? When we're feeling depression? We have a divided heart, my friends. Because what happens is a divided heart keeps us from experiencing what God has. And it comes from the stronghold that says this. This is the stronghold, okay? It's the same for every person. We're not talking symptoms. We're talking roots here. Every stronghold in your life comes from this lie. You ready? We do not believe that God possesses the fruits of His Spirit. I'm going to unpack that for you now, okay? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? Did I get them all? What did I miss? Goodness. Did I say goodness? We'll go with goodness. I like that. That's where I'm going. I love it. Here's the thing, guys. As I'm laying in the tub and I'm having this moment, the Lord says this to me. He says, Chad, I actually possess all the fruits of the Spirit except one. And when the Lord speaks that to me, what He's doing is He's tempting me into Scripture. He's tempting me into learning. So I got out of the tub and I'm getting in my Word. I'm trying to figure this out and I'm reading it, and all of a sudden, here it comes. Self-control. God doesn't need self-control because He's God. He doesn't have urges to control. And in that moment, the Lord spoke again, and He said, that's the stronghold in your life, Chad. Every stronghold in your life is because you don't believe that I possess one of those fruits. I look at giving. Sometimes when we're tempted to give a large amount, right away we say, whoa, we need to save a little back just in case we have a rainy day. Just in case the dog gets sick. Just in case I end up being off work. Just in case we end up... What are we saying? We're saying God's not good. The lie in our life that's keeping us from being obedient in our giving is we don't think He's good and we don't think He's faithful. This was a game changer for me because I began to chase this stuff down in my life. The areas where I wasn't quite able to be brave enough to be obedient, I began to chase them down. Why? Why am I afraid of this? Well, I'm afraid of this because I fear that you're not good. I fear that you're not faithful. And the Lord began to play the tape of my life and show me His faithfulness. He began to show me His goodness. He began to show me His kindness. And His gentleness, and His love over my life, even when I wasn't deserving it. And all of a sudden, I had this desire to do something super crazy. I decided to be wildly obedient. First time, I said, Lord, I mean this now. Make me effective for you, I'll do anything. We're on a ferry, and the Lord says to me, Chad, I want you to pray for that lady. This is like tough biker chick sitting by herself reading the paper. I'm like, she'll eat me for lunch. I'm not going anywhere near that woman. She looks angry. So I lean over to Serena because Serena is the one that keeps me accountable, and I says, babe, we're supposed to talk to the biker, babe. And Serena's like, perfect. We sit down with this lady and we're talking, and out of nowhere, this pops out of my mouth. Have you been disappointed in the last week? What? What kind of a question is that to a strange biker babe on a ferry? All of a sudden, this tear starts to run down her cheek. She says, I've been living with this man for 15 years, and I came home early from work and found him in bed with the neighbor. So I just got on this ferry, and I'm just going to get off the ferry, and I'm going to ride my bike as far north on this island as I can go. We had this cool opportunity to pray with her, led her to Christ. All of a sudden, that ferry ride wasn't about crossing a little piece of water. It was about bringing the kingdom. May your will be done. May your kingdom come here. Not when you return, but right now. Because the stronghold was gone. And all of a sudden, this stuff started speeding up. We started praying for people that didn't know Christ. God says, put your hand on their heart, ask my spirit to come, and I'll come. I'm like, does that work that way? But I decided he possessed the fruits of the Spirit. He said, go, I'm going to go. We meet this guy. He doesn't even know Christ. And I'm like, dude, can I pray for you? And I'm expecting him to go, pop. And he says, yeah, that'd be cool. Okay. So well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my hand on your chest. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And you will actually experience your Heavenly Father for the first time. What kind of a statement is that, people? It's a statement of boldness because I actually ingested the truth that he possessed the fruits of the Spirit. So he's going to be faithful. And he's good enough. And he loves this guy enough that he's going to show up when we ask. I didn't even know it worked this way. I said, Holy Spirit, come. And this guy says, oh my God. I'm like, that's the first time you used that term correctly. What is this? I said, that's the Holy Spirit. Man, he says, that is crazy. So like, how do I get that to stay? We led him to Christ. God started calling us to pray for people. They were being healed. We started seeing healings regularly. People delivered from demonic strongholds regularly. It stopped being a thing. Oh man, I prayed for this guy and you wouldn't believe it. God showed up. No, it stopped being like that. It was like, yeah, no, I just prayed for a few people today. Got some groceries. Yeah, it was a good day. It became regular suit. And here's the thing. Guess what else changed in my life? The fear and anxiety left, and this is why. Because I was actually doing what I was designed to do. I was being obedient in everything I did. And everything I felt and everything I thought. And guess what? Life didn't get easier. In fact, there's some things in my life today that are very, very, very difficult. But you know what? I have peace. And I have peace because I've been obedient. That peace in your life that you are not being obedient with, it is stealing from you every day. And what I want to see in your lives here in this church is I want to see a people raise up that says, no more stealing. And I want to see a group of people that actually brings the kingdom. Not just because God needs you. God can actually send other people. It's okay. You're not the only person that's going to reach that person. That's a lie from the enemy. That would make God not good if he depended only on me. Changes. Because we're doing the way we're designed to do. Here's the thing. If I bought a motorbike and I did incredible modifications to it, I made this thing the hottest rod in town. And if I took that bike and I tried to mow the lawn with it, how would it work? How would it make me feel? Well, it would make me lack self-control because I'd be super angry, super bitter because I spent a bunch of money on it, super disappointed, and just generally frustrated. Is that the bike's fault? No. It's because I'm operating the bike in a way that it was not designed to work. Now, if I was to try to mow the lawn with a lawnmower, I would find that it would work better. And as it worked, I'd feel a sense of accomplishment. And I'd feel some joy. I'd feel peace because the job's done and my wife's off my backside. Right? No? Yeah? It's because I'm using the tool for the way it was designed. Here's the piece, okay? And I'm going to close. How many of us in our lives are operating our lives not the way it was designed? If all you are is a mom, that's not what God called you to be. If all you are is a grandma, that's not what God called you to be. If all you are is a tradesman or a farmer or an employee, that's not what God called you to be. He loves you. He died for you. And you have salvation. You're good, man. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're in. Done. But why don't we take this Holy Spirit thing, this love of God thing, this prayer, Lord, let your will be done, your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. Why don't we take that for a spin? Why don't we start being obedient with what God's given us? I come to the conclusion in my life that God has called me with many, many talents. Just like the man in the parable. And I decided in my life that I did not want to be the man that gave Jesus the same or less than he gave me when he returns. I decided I wanted to be a man that actually brought his kingdom. There's nothing fancy about me. God can't use me. You know why? Here's some truth about Chad Ponto. He didn't go to school. I read at a grade 7 level. I have huge learning disabilities. And I wasted 35 years of my life. That should make me discounted to do what I do. When the Lord called me to start preaching, he said, just put it in your notes, and when I come on you, you'll read. How did I read today? Grade 7 level? It's because the Holy Spirit did it for me. Because I'll tell you, when I read those notes earlier today, you would not have even understood them. God gives me what I need to do what needs done when I'm actually doing it his way. Because he's good. And he desires us to bring a harvest, not because he needs us to be harvesters, but because he knows if we do, we'll experience the joy and the peace that he actually created us to live in. I'm going to pray. And if you would like us to pray for you, I would be more than happy to do so today. It's kind of what we do. And I would love to pray that whatever's going on in your life, if it's a stronghold thing, I'd love to pray with you through that. If that's experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life for the first time, I'd love to do that. If it's healing, I'd love to pray and believe the Lord with you for healing. I don't care if I'm here till 2 o'clock, people. But please, let's not be a people that have been lulled to sleep. There's more. And I'm telling you from experience, it is so fun. So fun. Lord God, I thank you for each heart here. Lord, I thank you that you actually allow us to make some decisions here. And Lord, that you're patient when we make the wrong ones. Lord, in Jesus' name, I break off condemnation from this place in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would silence the voice in people's heads that tells them they can't do that. They can't get out of that. They got to stay there. I just break that off in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would begin to speak into each heart here truth. Truth of who they are in you. And truth, Lord God, for what you have for them. Lord God, may we be a people who make your kingdom come and your will be done here at Mirror Lake as it is in heaven. Make us workers of your harvest. May we see the manifest presence of your Holy Spirit. May we actually bring change to our world that is dying. May we be a people that honor you with obedience. In Jesus' name. I want to thank you for inviting me, Pastor Brad. You people have been incredibly blessed with the man of God here that really loves you guys and really desires to lead you into the greater things that God has. You're truly blessed. Commonality is the killer of honor. And what you have here is not common. So don't treat it commonly. You're truly blessed here. Please, if you want to have a conversation or be prayed for or whatever, come and have a visit. I will be the last one out of here. And if you got to go, you're loved and you honored me by being here today. So go. Have a great day.